We've been working through these little sections in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus picks up the law of God and says, actually, this is what the law really means. And the key verse in this section, verse 37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He's saying, be a straight talker. Say it as it is. My, how we need to hear that today, don't we? Now, I'm finding it impossible, increasingly impossible, to trust anyone these days. Don't you find that? You'll know that in the world of business, of course. Gone are the days when the city was run on the old adage, my word is my bond. Do a deal today and you have no confidence that it will happen until it's signed, sealed and delivered, do you? My wife and I bought a cottage earlier this year. Not the sort of thing we do regularly, obviously, but we happened to buy a little cottage. And we'd been negotiating things and then just seeing how things went through for a month or so. And the estate agent rang me up out of the blue. And she said this to me. She said, Mr. Williams, you're not going to pull out on us, are you? Now, I can't think why she rang. I'd given her no impression at all, as far as I knew, that I was going to suddenly turn down the deal. And I said to her, let me assure you, my word is my bond, which meant absolutely nothing to her. She didn't believe me at all. Not because she knew me. She didn't know me at all. But I guess because she's met so many people who've just pulled out on deals. She didn't have any confidence that she could trust anyone. Now, that's the case in most areas of life, isn't it? I'm sure that I'm not the only one who won't take politicians' promises seriously, just take them with a pinch of salt because of all the sleaze that's around. Before signing forms, I want to read through all the small print. Somebody came and sold me some life assurance the other day. They asked me to sign a form. I wanted to read through every single bit of life assurance. And you could see him getting rather frustrated as I read through every single bit of the small print. If a BT sales rep calls me on the telephone, do you get those phone calls? They're very pleasant and friendly. But straight away, I'm asking myself, what are they after? When they tell me they're making me an offer that I can't refuse, I'm thinking, what's the catch? See, these days you have to analyse every word and phrase. Now, that was the world that Jesus lived in as well, which is why he says in verse 33 again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, don't break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. But I tell you, don't swear at all. Don't make promises at all. The words in verse 33 are not a direct quotation from the Old Testament, but it's a fair summary of the Old Testament law. Now, you can look up later, if you like, something like Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, a command that is given to foster truth, to make sure that people don't make promises that they then won't keep. But as we've seen before over these last few weeks, as soon as the Pharisees got hold of that law, they made a mockery of it. Rather than live by the spirit of the law, they twisted it. They had an approach to the law that Hugh Palmer calls fingers crossed. Do you remember how it went when you were kids? We'd promise something while we were playing with our little friends. But when it came to it, and we didn't really want to do it, and they said, but you promised, you'd reply, oh yes, but I had my fingers crossed, so it doesn't count. Remember that? Fingers crossed. You see, a sneaky way of getting out of doing what you said you'd do. And of course, as kids, it didn't have to be your fingers that were crossed. If it wasn't your fingers, it could be your legs or your arms or anything, as long as it was crossed. Fingers crossed, a clever escape clause to get out of an obligation. The Pharisees played that sort of game. That's what Jesus is dealing with here. You can see it more clearly if you turn with me to chapter 23 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23, verses 16 to 19. Now let me read from verse 16 of Matthew 23, and you'll see the sorts of things that were going on as far as the Pharisees were concerned. You'll see also how mad Jesus is with them as he says to them, woe, you blind guides and you blind fools. Verse 16, woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath. You blind fools. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he's bound by his oath. You blind men. Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? And you see the sort of games that they were playing. If you were to get a note from a Pharisee, maybe you were on the Sanhedrin, the special council, and a Pharisee wrote to you and he said, I promise on the temple that I'll support you in the decision that we're going to be taking in this next week. Well, that wasn't worth the paper that it was written on. You see verse 16? If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if the Pharisee had promised by the gold of the temple, well, then he was bound to keep his promise. You see again verse 16, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath. Now, if you're complicated, if that's all very complicated, then that's right. That's exactly the issue. If a Pharisee was talking to you and they made a promise, you'd be thinking to yourself, now, did he promise by the temple or by the gold of the temple? Which one was it? And which one is binding anyway? What is he saying? Why doesn't he just use straight talk, you see? Now, that's what Jesus is dealing with back in Matthew chapter 5. Let's go back there, our passage today. He's saying, don't play around with words like that. Playing around with words like that has got to go. So he says in verse 34 of Matthew 5, don't swear, don't make oaths at all. Just say it as it is, you see. You see, deceitfulness is out for the follower of Jesus Christ. As we've been seeing over these weeks, we should be wanting to aim really high. Not taking the law of God and twisting it around, but saying, what is the best I can give for the Lord Jesus? Out of love for all that he's done for me, I want to aim really high, not seeing what I can get away with. There's a world of difference, isn't there? And so in the arena of truthfulness, we need to be sure that we're not like the Pharisees. But let me suggest that I think we probably are. We don't live by the spirit of the law, but we try to justify ourselves. Let me explain. What about times when you've been late for work because you left home late? What's the excuse you get when your boss sees you coming in late? He's looking at his watch, and you look at him and you say, oh, well, I got held up in traffic. Well, technically, it's true. You did. There was a red light, and you had to stop at it. I got held up in traffic. So you did tell him the truth. Well, technically. But, of course, the truth of it really was you left home late. You were always going to be late. And, of course, you can justify yourself. I told the truth. I did get held up in traffic. You see, that's the sort of thing the Pharisees were doing, playing word games and then convincing themselves that they'd kept the truth. They told the truth. They'd kept God's law. Well, if that's how we are, like the Pharisees, we've missed the point of God's law. It's there to point us towards truthfulness, to make us people of our word. See, the Pharisees have made a mockery of the law. They would, if you look at verse 33, they would keep oaths made to the Lord, but they wouldn't keep any other oaths they'd made. Well, Jesus says in verses 34 to 36, that is ridiculous. Whenever you make an oath, the Lord is involved, because he is involved in the whole of life. So don't make oaths to this and to that. He's involved in everything. You see verse 34, I tell you, don't swear at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. You see, God is involved in everything. And verse 36, don't swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Well, that's true, isn't it? I can't change the colour of my hair. Well, I have it dyed, but I can't actually change it. It's either white or black. It either goes grey or it doesn't. It's all down to God, you see. He's even involved in that. Well, then, fingers crossed, the way of the Pharisees. Straight talking, the way of Jesus. Verse 37, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Christian, be a straightforward, straight-talking person. It needs to be obvious what we're saying, doesn't it? We need to be people of honesty, people of integrity, a person who his word is his bond. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Is that what we're known for? Do people say of us, I know that he's telling the truth? When you say yes, they can guarantee that you mean yes. I organised a surprise 40th birthday party for my brother just over a year ago, and I wrote to a fair amount of people, seeing if they would come, and a good number didn't write back, so I rang them up, and as the time was getting closer, and said, are you going to come? And they would give me their reply. A couple of friends that I rang, who I've not been in touch with for some time, we had a good old chat, and after a while I said to them, well, are you coming? Can you make David's party? And my friend said, oh yes, we'll be there. And as I put the phone down, I said to my wife, Caroline, I said, you know, I'm sure they won't come. I said it also to my parents, and sure enough, when it came to the evening, they weren't there. See, some people are like that, aren't they? They say yes, but you're never sure if they really mean it. The fact is, what they say and what they do has no relation at all. Now, that is not appropriate behavior for the follower of Jesus Christ. We need to live transparent lives. be clear and frank in the language we use. Because we should be aiming high, saying, what is the best that I can give for Jesus Christ after all that he's done for me? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. So do you see, the office lies have got to go. You know, the Christian secretary who says the boss is out when he's in, but he doesn't want to be. It's not appropriate. Now, the cleverly constructed sentence designed to manipulate. You know, the deliberately ambiguous comment that is intended to leave people uncertain of what you really mean could be taken two ways, and you'll let them take it the way that they want to take it, because it leaves you a way out. Well, this means that an awful lot of sales techniques are out if you're a Christian. I used to be in sales. I know the way these sales techniques work. I used to teach people to do them. Well, I want to repent of that. See, what does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 4? We renounce secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to you. Now, he's talking particularly about proclaiming the gospel. But that must be true in the whole of our lives, mustn't it? Now, this all means that little white lies, as we call them, they're out of bounds as well, aren't they? You see, when someone asks you to something that you'd really rather not be at, and you reply, well, I won't be able to make that, I've got another urgent appointment, and then all the time you're thinking, and in a moment I'll remember what that urgent appointment is, that's got to go. Just say it as it is. If you don't want to accept an invitation, say no, that's okay. You see, Jesus says, let your no be no, verse 37. But when you do say no to an invitation, don't start thinking of changing your no to a yes when a better offer hasn't come along. Let your yes be yes. If you don't want to do it, your no be no. Both are acceptable. Just say it as it is. Be a straightforward speaker. Of course, this doesn't mean that we need to be rude. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. No, just say it as it is. Be kind, just as you should be. Be loving, but say it as it is. See, the slants on the stories that we tell are out as well, aren't they? You know, the way that we exaggerate. I was thinking about this week how we recall incidents or conversations, and we always recall them in a way that leaves us in a better light, don't we? So you see, when my working day is finished and I'm speaking to my wife Caroline and she's been out at work and we're catching up with each other, I'll tell her about all the things that have gone on during the day. And I'll always tell her the truth about what's gone on, but the way I tell the story makes me sound bolder than I really was, or kinder than I really am, or makes my position sound more reasonable than it really is. See, exaggeration, it's got to go. Simply get your yes be yes, and your no be no. Say it as it is. Straight talking, that's the way of Jesus. Because straight talking makes for integrated characters, people whose words and actions go hand in hand. That should be us. If we're wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. You see, if we're not people who say it as it is, eventually it affects the sorts of characters we are. If you start to be deceitful or clandestine in one relationship, you'll soon find it creeping into others. If you can't be trusted in some areas, then you'll find people won't trust you in other areas either. And that is hopeless for the Christian, isn't it? For we follow one who is the truth. We claim to be people who have the truth. So we must start by speaking the truth, surely. Be a straight talker, says Jesus, because behind all this double talk is the devil. You see again, verse 37, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Isn't that an amazing comment? Fingers crossed, the way of the Pharisee. Straight talking, the way of Jesus. Forked tongue, the way of the devil. You see, when the evil one gets us to speak with a forked tongue, it leads to endless rules. Don't you find how it complicates life when we're not just saying it as it is? When you're on the receiving end of that sort of thing, all the time you're wondering, do they mean it or not? Makes life very complicated, doesn't it? And if you're the one who's doing the forked tongue speaking, if you're not speaking the truth, it makes life complicated for you, because all the time you're having to think, now what did I say to them last time? How does it really go? How can I say this in a way that leaves me with a way out? It just complicates life. If everyone's yes was always yes, life would be so much more straightforward, wouldn't it? We wouldn't need to give promises or qualify every single statement that we give. You know how it goes, oh no, really, I promise, you can take my word for it this time. What does that mean? You can't take my word for it other times unless I qualify it. See, that sort of language says it all. But all that complicates life, takes the enjoyment out of life. That's what the evil one is about. He manipulates. He sows deception. He devalues words. Well, Christian, be sure, we're not to follow the evil one, are we? We're not to be speaking like that. Be a straight talker. Say it as it is. Say what you really mean. In love, of course, but say it as it really is. It is, of course, remarkably straightforward stuff, isn't it? Yet you let your yes be yes and your no, no. Yet it seems so remarkably difficult to live. Of course, we need all the help that the Lord will give us through his Holy Spirit living in us. But we do need to be thinking, I want to rise above deceitfulness. And you know, as we do, we will be noticed for it. Particularly as the world lives to a different drumbeat, doesn't it? It marches to a different drumbeat completely. This openness will be very, very attractive. Won't this lead to people saying, I want to know more about what they believe in? See, after I spoke about this yesterday at St. Paul's Church, somebody came up to me afterwards, and she's a Christian, and she said to me, you know, somebody spoke to me only the last week, and they said, I'm not interested in spiritual things, but if I do ever want to know about Jesus Christ, I'll come to you because I know I can trust you. That's because she's lived a consistent Christian life. She's been truthful in every area, and now they know they can trust her. That is very encouraging for us. As we live this way, people will come and say, I know I can trust you because you're truthful in all areas of life. This then is a wonderful opportunity as we live this way to be actually drawing people in to say, doesn't Jesus make life better? Isn't he most wonderful as we live his way? It's very attractive. Straight talking. That's the way of Jesus. Let's pray that we can do that. Let's pray. Let me leave just a few moments of silence for you to think about, maybe to ask God's forgiveness for the times that you failed him. Maybe to ask him to give you the courage to say the truth in love. Maybe for you to ask him to give you the strength to be one who speaks truthfully in every area of life. A moment of silence then. Our Lord and God, we do say sorry for the times that we've failed you in this most straightforward of areas of our life. We ask you to forgive us for the times when we've been manipulative in our words, when we've not said it as it really is, for whatever reason. And we ask you to encourage us by the strength of your Holy Spirit living in us to want to start to live as we should and talk as we should, to be those who are transparent individuals, that we speak straight talk. Lord, we ask you to encourage us that as we do that, we would see others wanting to know more about you. For you are a God who's revealed yourself through your word in plain language. And so we pray we'd be good ambassadors for you today and through the rest of our lives. And we ask it all in Jesus' name.